It's the Gentleman's Review.
Hello.
Hello.
I haven't seen you lot for a while. It's episode 89 of the Gentleman's Review. How are you, gentry?
Not too bad.
You're all right? How are you, Martin?
I'm feeling groovy.
Yeah, what about you, Lisa?
I'm all right.
What about you, Tom?
I'm great.
What about you, Dilly?
That was an approximation of Dill.
Yeah.
That was an artist's impression.
It's been that there Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, I better take off my Christmas trousers though now because it's a new year.
Yeah, go on, whip them off.
Hey!
Off! Yeah.
Sporting my new year gonads.
Oh, aren't they nice?
They look ever so clean.
Yeah, it's a shame you didn't have your Boxing Day boxers on to cover them up.
No. I mean, I bought them in the sales. I want people to see.
Mm. Well, I suppose you might as well show them off. There's no point splashing out if people aren't going to get the benefit, is there?
I queued outside Millets for 3 days to get those.
Wow. So they're proper outdoor guns.
They are.
Wow. Did you get a good deal on them?
No.
No.
No, I ended up paying 10 times more than they were worth.
Oh, dear. That was a poor show, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I made a little campfire outside and set fire to the shop.
Is this secretly why they're going bust then?
Yeah,
because you burnt their shop down.
That's Blacks. I think
they own Millets. So the BBC News website says.
I heard that Blacks own Millets.
Oh, no. I'd like to apologise.
Sorry.
Martin. So what have we all been up to since the Christmas extravaganza?
Well, we had a New Year's Eve, didn't we? That was fun.
Yes. What did you do for New Year's Eve?
I went to my mum's house.
Woo! Yay!
Which was actually really, really fun.
Yeah.
We got through about 2 bottles of wine, about 3 bottles of champagne.
Ah, that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Cool.
Or was it 3 bottles of wine and 2 bottles of champagne? It was all a bit fuzzy, isn't it?
It's academic, isn't it?
Yeah.
And right. We watched Jules Holland's Hootenanny.
Yeah.
He didn't hoot one nanny.
Did he not?
No.
That's rubbish. Not even of the goat variety.
Nope.
No. And they, I mean, they've got horns as well.
Yeah.
dear. What about you, Thomas? What did you get up to for New Year?
I drank wine and played dominoes. It was bloody great.
Oh, it's nice. Wow. On your own.
that would have been better.
Yeah.
No, I went to some friends and when I eventually found the house.
You've got friends.
After some particularly bad directions, it was a very pleasant evening. And then I walked home before midnight. So at midnight, I was actually halfway home and could watch all the fireworks going off.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
But yeah, I had quite a nice Christmas as well. That was nice.
Yes, we were at Mater's again.
Yeah. Still there. And we had a Christmas pie with gin. And it was lovely.
Nice.
Christmas pie, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds nice.
And gin. Gin's nice, isn't it?
Have a bit of gin.
Yeah, but a lovely gin-covered Christmas pie.
Yeah.
I always try and set fire to the gin. Never works. Doesn't seem to be as flammable as brandy.
No, I don't think it's quite there, is it?
No.
Which is probably for the best, because I think burning gin is a bit of a waste of yummy gin.
Mm. It is, so.
You're better off just drinking it.
Drink the gin. Right, that's it, kids. Drink the gin.
Yep, all of it.
Keeps you healthy.
Go into your parents' cupboards. Yeah. You know, sometimes they might think, oh, they're going to steal my gin, so they might have hidden it in an old bleach bottle.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yep. or dried it into pill form.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, tablet gin.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the best way of hiding it from their kids. It's an old parents' trick, that one.
Get that down your neck. You'll have no problems at all.
Anything you can find, just fistfuls of it down your face.
Just in case it's
Just in case, in your face.
Yep.
That's our motto, children.
And you'll end up feeling all nice and gin floaty.
Dilbert.
Oh, Dil's having a wine. Why is that? It's because we're talking about gin. You're not getting any.
No, I think it's probably because he's not got a seat on the settee.
And we were putting him on a nice blanket, but I got a nice new rug recently. And I thought he'd enjoy the rug, but obviously that's not good
enough. Apparently not.
Wants a smelly pink blanket.
No, he's looking at it and saying, well, yeah, all right, it's a nice thing down on the floor, but it's clearly a rug and not a blanket.
Yeah.
I know the difference, and I'm going to keep whining.
Yeah, I mean, that blanket has been with us since the beginning of the Gentleman's Review.
It was the pink blanket off the rickety table,
it
wasn't
it? Yes.
Yeah.
Which we needed to have on the table to stop the rickety table making a big bangy noise whenever we moved thought.
Happy days.
Yes. I think we should go back to the rickety tables, to be quite honest. Yeah.
You think? Yeah. Well, I'm dressing up for each episode as well.
Yeah.
That was definitely go back to that.
Yeah, that only did it for the first.
Dressing up and 2 bottles of champagne per episode.
Awesome.
Oh, if only we could afford that.
Yeah,
these
I was
going
to say, it's the money's the thing that's stopping that, isn't it? Go bankrupt.
Yeah. You see, gentry, that's why you need to pay us.
Yes. Send us your money.
I mean, it doesn't have to be Bolly. We can go for a nice Piper High Tech. That's only about 15 quid a bottle now.
That's right. Not too bad, is it?
I'll do for me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'd slum it for you, gentry.
Yeah, we would. Yeah.
We'd go for second tier champagne.
Second rate, second tier.
Yeah.
Oh, they had some the other day and it was very nice.
Yeah, because I find champagne's very variable to my taste. Because we had that very expensive Dom Perignon out for dinner.
Oh,
that
God,
time.
Yes.
And it was horrible.
It was.
Horrible stuff.
Nasty.
And it was about 3 times the price of that nice Bollinger that we liked so much.
Yeah, how much they got? To be vulgar now, I'll tell you how much that Dom Perignon cost. It cost 120 quid.
120?
Yeah. Fuck all that.
Yeah. For one bottle.
Blimey.
The Bollinger was only about 30 at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I only thought it was about a ton, but that's just...
Yeah.
And it made me hurt.
Big disappointment that was.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show what so-called wine buffs know.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking idiots.
They know nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, wine buffs always like the most bitter, disgusting tasting wines.
Yeah.
And people like me like a nice... Well, Merlot, that's just quite nice and
I think
sweet.
They've got to do that, because if they liked the stuff that was actually nice, then everyone would like it and they wouldn't be able to feel special, whereas if they like the rancid stuff that gives you gut ache after half a glass, they can go, oh yes, you don't appreciate it. That is why I am the wine expert and you are not.
Now I'm going to tuck into my delicious dinner of dung.
And glass.
It's been passed through a secret squirrel. Not the secret squirrel, though.
I was gonna say. No. Wow.
There's a secret squirrel. But yeah, the food and drink, I think it's become less... brain doesn't work. Less
broadcast?
Yeah, that's why
it's less broadcast than it used to be.
Less mythical than it used to be. Something that you would read about and people would know about.
You know, you might go out for a nice unicorn steak or mermaid tail or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely a lot less mythical now.
Yeah.
Mystical? I don't know. I've got brain damage.
Brain damage.
Yeah.
Everyone point and laugh at Martin and his brain damage. Oh, he's crying now.
You can't help that. It just happened.
Yes.
Bit of brain seeping.
Uncontrollable face leak.
You got brain damage. I got brain damage. Ridicule is...
Yeah, that was very good. Something of a brain damage 80s mashup.
The
kids would probably love that in the clubs.
Dance
or
around, dance
whatever
around.
Whatever it is they do it, these
it
days.
It was a sort of Adamant Cliff Richard esque sort of mix, wasn't it?
Whatever happened to Cliff Richard? Is he dead now?
I believe not.
Is he big and dead?
I think. Look, is he not? Is he not living with a definitely not gay vicar?
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
Is that not his domestic setup?
Yeah, I would never ever suggest that he was a
Dilly.
Now?
Are we there?
Hello.
Hello.
Here we go, we're back again. Dill wrecked the recording equipment.
Oh, lie down, Pupkin.
Lie down and stop being naughty.
He seems to be quite...
Naughty.
Naughty.
Oh, look at his little face.
Yes.
because he knows he's been naughty.
naughty.
Now, see, I had to move my microphone, which means I've now got 10 minutes of obsessive compulsive fiddling.
No, you haven't.
It's wrong. It's in the wrong place.
Leave it.
It's in exactly the same place. This is what I think. We'll just put this out unedited. I think it's going to be hilarious.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Is there any member of the Gentleman's Review that doesn't have a severe brain problem then?
No.
Well, Lisa seems to have a normal brain.
Yeah, what? You're the most. You're the actually, most that's normal of the lot.
That's
of
actually an insult.
Yeah, let's have a look. Let's have a look at the brain. Yeah, it looks like
that. Yep.
There's nothing worse than being called normal. I do apologise, Lisa, accusing you of being normal.
Yes, it's dreadfully bland, isn't it?
Yeah, normal bland. And I know
I don't want to be so mundane.
No.
Creative. You're a creative.
That's right.
So you're not normal.
You're an artisan.
Yes.
That's right, I am.
Yes.
Not an artiste.
Yeah.
Because my clothes stay on. But I'm an artisan.
Yeah. Actually, what, naked
you don't
making.
Bake in the nude.
No.
That's not very hygienic.
Apparently they frown upon it.
If you're wearing clothes, like all kinds of germs can fall out of them.
Whereas you can scrub yourself off quite well.
Nicky Biggie.
Yeah. Is that not a bit dangerous, though?
Well, I mean, you'd probably have to have a pinny over the front at the very least. I mean, if only to...
And you could put the words to that Billy Ray Cyrus song.
Oh, yeah. Nicky Biggie heart.
Yes. Which would be good.
Well, I suppose depending on what you were making, it could be your Nicky Biggie tart.
Hey!
Boom!
Comedy gold, comedy gold, comedy gold, comedy gold, comedy gold, comedy gold, never gets old.
Comedy gold.
Bow!
Oh, yeah.
Only two of us joined in with the song there.
New
year. About what it deserves.
New year, and we are right back on it.
Yeah. Can I have a little rant? A little rant? Just a little rant.
Oh, go on then.
I've heard you already have. That makes no sense. No sense at all.
No, it doesn't. It's about people on Twitter using the word lol. Now, I'm not going to go in the whole hackneyed thing about, oh, how dare people use the word lol, laughing out loud. How nonsensical is that? But use it right. If you're going to use it correctly. You know, use it before something. So if I've made a joke, which is rare, I know, and you actually want to laugh at it, which is even rarer.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are actually replying, put lol at the beginning of the tweet. So go, ha, 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 ha. That's a good thing that you just said there. Do not put it at the end of your tweet, because then it just sounds like you're laughing at yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah, I've not thought of that, but it's very self-absorbed, isn't it?
It is. It's like, and some people actually use it all the time. Yeah. I've known people put it in their fucking signature. So it's like, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, your grandma's just dead. Lol. It's just wrong. So,
well, so
if you must use it, and I'd rather you didn't, please use it in the right place.
I would say all of us and all of the gentry out there, if you ever see anyone finish a tweet with lol, just with no explanation, reply to them with the words, you self-absorbed cunt.
Yes.
And just keep doing it until they work out what they're doing wrong.
Or just shorten it to YSAC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a bit slow at the moment.
Clank, 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 clank.
The other day, I couldn't find my own fucking nose. That was hilarious.
All right. Do you often have to look for it?
Well, in fairness, you seem to have fitted it wrong today, because it's not actually in the normal place. It's,
I woke up in the morning with a spot on my nose, and I thought, oh, that's sore. And I got my finger, and I started prodding somewhere to the right of my head, just trying to find the nose.
Oh. That started off like it was going to be the world's shittest blues song.
Couldn't find
my nose.
This morning. Spot on my nose. Thought it was a...
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh. They can put it onto the soundtrack of the fucking Blues Brothers, which is what I'm calling it now, because it's been on so many times, and I've seen it so many times, that I fucking hate it.
Make it go away.
Yeah.
Is that all you get on fancy paid-for telly? Channels and channels of 24-hour repeats of the Blues Brothers.
Oh, look, there's Steven Spielberg. But I've watched it since, and I don't really enjoy it. I don't really care for the Blues Brothers characters, because they don't really develop. They're not really very interesting.
I don't know that character development was really what they were aiming for.
They were just throwing lots and lots of celebrities in their path. And
I don't know. I'd need to watch it again to get a sort of up to date opinion of it. I think.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Oh, sounds like Dill doesn't like it. Dilly, do you like Blues Brothers? No, he just can't decide. It's been too long since he's...
Dilly, what about Blues Brothers 2000?
They made a sequel?
Sadly.
Oh, he doesn't like that, no.
No.
He's saying, no, that was a shit idea.
But nobody liked that, to be fair. No.
Did they dig up What's It Belushi and make him talk?
No, they had John Goodman instead. It wasn't right.
They could have at least got James Belushi.
It was John Goodman and some random child.
Ah.
I mean, the whole point of the Blues Brothers was like drinking and...
sex with children.
Blues music and, you know. It didn't seem to go with children.
No, it didn't really. They should have got James Belushi in because he's beginning to look like that bloke off of Bargain Hunt now.
Is he?
Yeah. The leather-faced man.
Yes.
David Dickinson.
Yeah, that's
or
a guy.
Or Tim Wanacock.
Oh, no, Tim.
Wants a cock.
Wants a cock. yeah. Tim wants a cock. Yeah.
No, the other one. The orange
the more tangerine man.
Yes. No, the one that moved to
the tangerine man, not the gap tooth gypsy.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
Gap tooth gypsy.
I've never thought of him as being particularly gypsy.
No, I think you bought the gap tooth.
Oh right.
They go together with the word gypsy.
You had a funny upbringing.
I just love the level that we started the year off with.
Yes.
I can easily keep to this.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, see, that's always the risk, is you come back and you put everything into it and you set the bar far too high.
Exactly.
Yes.
We're not risking that.
No. But, review? Should we do a review?
A review? What do you want to do a review of, Martin?
Let's do Reg D. Hunter. No, let's not do that again.
We've done that already.
Do we do reviews now? Have I missed something?
Not really.
What do you want to review then? What do you want to review?
Biscuits.
Hey, biscuit review.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Biscuit review. It's the biscuit review. Biscuit review. It's the biscuit review. Biscuit review. It's the biscuit review.
The ats made Dill get up. I can't tell if it was that old chocolate finger-esque biscuit that Martin's holding.
As we can see that, frankly, we're all a bit hysterical. Shall I give Tom a biscuit? We can choose a biscuit each.
Oh, okay.
We're having a different biscuit because it is a...
Tom's just gone for the same one as you.
Yeah, because I like the look of it.
Oh, God.
Although, I have had two others, so I can comment equally on all of them.
Well, I've heard you like...
I'll have one of them.
I've heard you like a chocolate finger, Tom.
I do. Verily, I do.
Verily?
Yes.
How very
Shakespearean. And that you like to be digitally penetrated.
Aye.
What? What, with data?
What? Yes. you've got that one.
I've got a round one with funny wrinkly bits.
I feel like I should stick to the spirit of things and go for a different one. Oh, no, not that one. I'm going to go for this one.
That's good.
Let's pass that back over here so Dill doesn't get it. So are these all out of a particular selection, Martin?
These are out of a, I think it's the Family Circle selection.
Oh, classy.
Yeah.
It's an old classic.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, they've been going since the 70s, I think.
Yeah, them and Peak Freens.
Peak Freens. Oh, yes.
I haven't had any Peak Freens biscuits for ages.
Did you know that Peak Freens were the ones that invented Garibaldi biscuits?
Were they?
They were.
Fucking hell, because they are only the best bloody biscuits in the world.
They ought to give Peak Freens a knighthood.
They bloody should. I think it's disgusting that we still have a royal family when the people at Peak Freens are not elevated to the peerage.
Yes, exactly. Well, I've got a chocolate finger, a traditional chocolate finger.
Yeah.
It's biscuity.
Mm-hmm.
It's chocolatey.
Oh,
it's fingery.
That is everything. That is literally everything you want from a chocolate finger.
And this is how it sounds on mic.
It sounds very crisp.
Mm. It does. Mm. Very crunchy. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I also had a chocolate finger.
In which case, your opinion really doesn't matter, does it?
Buzzing.
We've already had a review of that one, Tom. Go on then, Tom. Review your bloody finger.
No, I'm not saying anything now. You can screw you. Go on, go on. Review your own bloody biscuit.
Okay, I've got a different biscuit because that was the whole point.
What have you got, Lisa?
Well, I've got this sort of round, creamy biscuit that looks not like a custard cream, but tastes quite like a custard cream.
All right, what type of biscuit is the biscuit? Is it the same type or is it more digestive-y?
It's possibly a little bit more digestive-y.
Okay, yeah.
Would you like to hear?
Yeah, give it a crunch.
Yep.
Again, quite a crisp biscuit. They're in good nick. These biscuits, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Only one careful owner.
Yeah.
Who digested it like a
nice?
Yeah, quite nice.
Well, I've got a chocolate chip cookie. It's not a double choc one. It's one with the sort of normal biscuity biscuit, not the chocolate biscuit, but with the chocolate chips. Ooh. What's that hum for? I generally prefer these to the double choc.
Yeah, I do. I don't really see the whole double choc thing working for me.
No. Are you laughing at double choc?
The contrast is good.
Yeah, that's all right. Here I go. See, it's a cookie. It's a lot less crisp. Which is fine, because, you know, really, that's what you want out of a cookie.
Yeah.
You don't want it to be all sharp and cracky.
No.
You know, very nice as far as a... Oh, it's actually quite pleasantly salty. Mm. I like a sort of slight salty back taste on a biscuit.
Mm. Well, you do something during the game, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I did go to an all-boys school, so, you know, obviously... Yeah.
Actually, I can read something out relating to that.
This is
something that Daniel Meyer said a couple of weeks back that was left on the Gents Review thing. He said that he was eating biscuits along to the Gentleman's Review. He said it's somewhere between a drinking game and the biscuit game, which is how I describe the Gentleman's Review.
That's sort of nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daniel.
Hey, nice man.
Hmm.
And we're giving bits to Dill to.
So yeah, that was a nice cookie. It stopped it being overly clean.
That's nice.
It's nice to get a bit of reviewing done, isn't it?
It is. So that was, I suppose, the biscuit review.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
The biscuit.
So what do we want to do now? Do we want to do the question?
Let's do the question.
The question.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. So, have you got the question in front of you?
I did. I jumped to tell them the question.
I've got it here as well. We're recording today, wondering which person from history would you like to have a pint with?
Pints.
Who's going to go off first? Tom, let's do one of your reedy ones.
Neil Peters said, the Buddha. He doesn't drink, so he could drive me home.
Oh, clever.
Good idea.
But he also adds, seriously, Buddha is my answer, just to listen to his wisdom.
Oh.
Doesn't exist, though, does it?
Didn't he?
No.
Yeah, take that, Buddha.
Yeah,
non-existing bastard.
Made up.
Martin.
Yes? Bramwell Bronte.
Oh, sorry.
Who's that from?
This is from Mr. Stephen Henry.
Hello.
And he says Bramwell Bronte, but before he got the consumption that killed his sister too.
Yeah, well, it's going to put you off your pint if he keeps hacking up blood onto his table, isn't it?
Mm. You're going to go through a lot of beer mats, aren't you? Just sort of mopping up bits of blood.
Yeah.
That's good. That's one I didn't think of, but I agree with that.
Bramwell.
Pint with Bramwell.
Yeah. I've got here from Sven945.
Hello.
You lanky bugger.
Yeah. Norman Tebbit, so I can smash him over the head with it. I had right of way in that narrow craft shop, damn it. And sounds puzzling enough, but he explains it. I had a slight incident with him in a craft shop when I was a baby in a pram. I hold on to my grudges.
You see, the question I wish to ask now is what he wants to smash Norman Tebbit over the head with.
With the pint, I think.
Who
do you want to have a pint with? And he says, I can smash him over the head with it.
Oh, I thought he meant his penis.
Possibly that.
See, he'd be better off having a bottle of beer with him, then he could bottle him.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Get him into the pub. Get him a pint, and then yeah,
you have a bottle,
like a bottle of Newcastle Brown or
ooh,
something.
I've just
that's
been passed
hefty
one to read out.
Aww. What have you got?
Raymond Turrell.
Hello.
Hello, Oliver Reed. There's always the prospect of inappropriate touching when he's had a jar. Oh, the anecdotes, obviously.
Dirty Raymond.
Yeah.
Oliver Reed. Oliver Reed.
Have you got another one, Thomas?
Thomas. What? Yeah, Misha. Kelly T says, Emmeline Pankhurst.
Oh.
Then Sven945 could tell us where we're getting feminism wrong. I don't get that.
I'm assuming this is some long-running argument yeah between them.
Well, they did then have a discussion for quite a while after this.
Are you using the Gentleman's Review, Misha, to sort out your your arguments?
Well, if you know,
your
if you
grudges.
Noticed, a few podcasts back, she did actually leave a message on the Drunk Line, which mention this.
Oh, I've forgotten that, but yeah, you're quite right.
This is a very long-running grudge then, is it?
Well, Matt.
This is one from William Tennant.
Hello.
Hello.
He says, I don't know about the pint, but he'd look to play drinking games with Hitler. I reckon he was a pussy.
Yeah, definitely faux shiz.
Yeah.
Definite lightweight.
I've got one here from Lee McIlwain. Hello.
Hello.
How odd.
yes, I
he wants to have a pint with Oliver Twist. I've always wanted to drunkenly punch him in the tits.
Okay.
Don't we all?
Fair enough.
Do fictional characters count as historical characters?
It's as good as... I mean, they're all not here now, so...
Funny though, I'd read that one, I'd scanned it, and I'd read it as Oliver Reed. Just because there was beer involved.
Yeah.
And tits, obviously.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
So, who's going next? Lisa, do you want to do another one?
Hello, Mookie International.
Hello, Mookie.
Hello. Joan of Arc, Abe Lincoln, or the inventor of beer?
The advantage of that last one is, of course, the inventor of beer got free beer in every pub for having invented it. So it'd be a cheap night as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Colonel Hitch. Hello.
Hello.
Wants to have a pint with Simeon Stylites, the 6th century saint who spent 40 years living on top of a pillar. Just to ask him if it was really worth it.
Could get him pissed and watch him fall off as well.
Yeah.
I was
just thinking, get him pissed and watch him cry at having wasted 40 years of his life on a pillar. Well, I've only got one more. Who's going to do that?
I'll do it as soon as it's in front of me.
Go on, then.
Yeah, go on.
This is from Becca Stinks. I'm sure she doesn't.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm sure you don't stink at all, dear. Oscar Wilde, as I'm sure he'd have a fair few tales to tell and to see if he really was a booze hound.
Ooh.
I believe he was.
Good,
you know,
one.
Was he?
Well,
yeah. Liked a bit of booze, did you, Wilde? You wouldn't have got caught if he... would have been sober.
No. Well, it was his drunken boasting that got him into the trouble, wasn't it?
And the shit on the sheets.
Yeah, well, that as well. Well, the thing is, really, he could have blamed that on the booze. You know how it is. You have a few. Dodgy kebab on the way back. Wake up in the morning in a puddle of your own ordure.
With a cock-shaped chick mark on your sheets.
Yes.
Yeah, read Richard Ellman's definitive book. On the trial of Oscar Wilde. That is actually part of the evidence which convicted him.
Wow. Surely he could just have said he'd been, bumming a lady.
It was encouraged during Victorian times as was the bumming of the lady.
Well, that's birth control, isn't it?
Oh, bum no baby.
Yep.
Bum no baby.
The Salvation Army slogan.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Blood and fire. It was bum no baby.
Yeah, it was written on the side of their big bass drum.
One side said blood and fire. The other side, bum no baby.
It was one of the central pillars of early feminism.
Yes.
Yeah, what about you then?
What about me?
Wilson. Pint man. Stay on the subject.
Blimey, I don't know. Well, usually my figure from history that I would most want to meet is Jane Austen. So I suppose I'd take it down the normal path and, you know, get her drunk and try and sauce her up.
I was on about my 10th historical figure I wanted a pint with till I realised it was just women I wanted to sauce.
At least I'm consistent.
You are Andy Saltzman.
Yeah. Yeah, we're queering their pitch ever so slightly there.
Well, they're finished, aren't they now? But
boo, fucking
boo,
times.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I'd like to have a pint with Jack the Ripper, whoever the fuck he was, just so I could find out.
Yeah.
And then I could like get rid of a whole shelf of my bookcase.
Yeah.
Free up some space.
You could just go through, tear out the pages that they might happen to have guessed it correctly, and put them in a notebook, and then, you know, like you say, bung the rest.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Or I did think also Arthur Wellesley. I'd happily buy him a pint on the grounds of all the frogs he squashed.
Yeah. I suppose in a more sensible sense, Alan Turing. I'd have a pint with him. He was awesome. Yeah. That's not particularly funny. I just would.
Yeah. No. Okay. He might want to get off with you as well.
Oh, possibly. Yeah. Well, he's only human.
Cutting hollow laughter.
Yeah.
I'd like to have a drink with Tom Baker, who is technically from the history of Doctor Who.
Yes.
So,
well, you know, I mean, anyone who has been born so far is a person from at least a small slice of history.
So, Tom Baker.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Because it was going to be Oscar Wilde, but somebody else nicked that.
In the Coach and Horses.
Bastard!
Yeah.
Would it be?
It was certainly in the Coach and Horses.
Well, you could place yourself at a certain point in the Coach and Horses. You could cover so many people in one afternoon.
Just stand at the end of that bar. But you'd have to immediately come across not as a cunt who wants to have a drink with them. That's going to be the difficult part.
Yeah.
You have to be come across as the right sort.
Mm.
You need a strategy. Like, probably to be the person buying would work.
Yeah, that's it. Or just have a sort of Groundhog Day week or something where you just go into the same point. Because I'm assuming you've got a time machine to do this. And some way of erasing yourself.
I thought you were just playing the odds by if you went back enough time so that the pub was full of you.
Yeah. And then got to the point where there's 50 of you.
Yeah, sooner or later, you'd be pretty much compelled to have a chat with you.
Yeah.
I'd go for Leonardo da Vinci.
Right, good one.
Because I think he'd be quite good, and I think he'd do really good doodles on the back of his beer mats.
Yeah, it'd be good. And he could sell them.
Yeah.
It'd
be good.
Yeah.
I'd not thought of turning this to profit.
Nice
idea.
Yeah.
But no, I think I'll stick with Tom Baker.
Tom Baker.
So I'll never be able to have a drink with him in his lifetime. I doubt that he would ever look at me and go, oh, there's a man I want to have a drink with.
You never know.
Might have a drink with him on his deathbed.
There's a certain lack of ambition on your part. I mean, he is at least still alive.
I'm assuming
you've got more of a chance hypothetically.
Yeah.
I would have to stalk him and it'd be very difficult.
Yeah.
I'd then have to drug him and then just sit there drinking next to his drugged bed or whatever. Very difficult. Very difficult.
And you don't want to be caught for doing that twice.
No. It'll be Sylvester McCoy all over again.
Yeah.
Did anybody see Sylvester McCoy on The Hootenanny?
No, I didn't watch The Hootenanny.
Yes.
No.
Well, he would have been invited to be in the audience, and it's very annoying because he was surrounded by lots and lots of the celebrities, and Jules Holland kept just ignoring him and going, actually leaning over him to talk to other people.
Fuck Jules Holland, if that's his attitude.
Until the very end, he was doing a little dance with old Sylvester McCoy and holding up one of the New Year letters that they all hold up.
That's good of him.
And he's got a stick, a walking stick.
Really?
Yeah.
Blimey.
So he was dancing with a walking stick, and Jules Holland ignored him. Jules Holland is a cunt, ladies and gentlemen.
He is. That is the official gentleman's review view.
Yes, I'm an absolute cunt, he said.
That's right. It's like he was in the room.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I had to look round. I thought he'd just come in.
I'm going to play some boogie woogie for you now.
It's already making my knuckles itchy.
There we go.
That's very good. I particularly like the piano playing.
Yeah.
Oh, it was piano.
Piano.
Yeah, enough of that.
Yeah.
I hate that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That sort of, let's all have a sing-along. Be happy, I'm the music man. I'm Henry VIII, I am. Fuck off, I hate you. Where do you learn these songs? Where do they learn these songs? About that thing about being in the store. Where did they learn that?
Brownies, obviously.
Yeah.
That's where I learned it.
I didn't go to
fucking
the brownies.
Where I learned it.
I hate cubs.
Yeah.
Any sort of organised, semi-military, small person's thing I hate.
What was that other one that they used to have? The Gay Brigade. Boys Brigade.
Boys Brigade.
Yeah. They always had nicer uniforms, I seem to remember, with hats.
They always fancier uniforms. Anyone that wears gloves is just a bit weird, isn't it?
Well, apart from when it's cold.
It's not exactly rusty-tusty.
I wear gloves.
Yeah, but not as a part of a uniform.
No.
No. Well, I did sometimes in cadets. We sometimes have white gloves if we were dressed particularly smartly.
Or handling delicate documents.
Yes. Yeah.
Quite often people need to do in the RAF. You get your flight log thing and technically, see, I know all about it.
I can see you're coming from a position of authority.
And occasionally they will write the sort of flight plan on a first edition Shakespeare folio. And
you've got to be careful with that. You've got to be careful. Cause, I mean, you can only use very soft black pencil because you've got to rub it out afterwards.
That's it.
Yeah.
Why they do it, it's a tradition. You just don't, don't query it.
You don't question that kind of thing.
No.
Years of history there. You can't just overrule it.
No. We lost 15 Dickens first editions. Just in ordinary flights on AWACS and things like that.
Still.
See, I know all about it, you see.
It's the price you pay for a free democracy, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So, did we all watch Sherlock?
We certainly fucking did.
We bloody did. What did we all think of it?
I thought it was I think I described it at the time as TV sex.
Yes.
I thought it was practically the best thing that had been on. Poor old Benedict. Like many actors can't mime violining very well.
He could at least have tried. I mean, it's not difficult.
I often think when people are miming any kind of instrument, be it violin or piano, that I don't know why the director just doesn't show their hands as clearly as they always fucking do.
Yes.
Mm. So I have someone playing the piano, and they'll always go far too close in on the hands to the point where you can see they are clearly not even hitting random keys in the same time as the music's going on. You thought, just don't show it. Just show them from the elbows up.
But I actually blame David Arnold for this on this particular series.
Do you? Stupid David Arnold.
Bad David.
Because I know for a fact that they write the music after the series has been shot now.
Did he write Auld Lang Syne?
I'd love to know what it would have sounded like if they had matched it to what he was playing.
But absolutely brilliant. And a lot of people now are on the internet that are kind of trying to pull it apart to make it bad.
Oh, right.
You know, people just don't like something that's really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's
wine buffs all over again. They are televisual wine buffs.
Yes.
That is what you say. Anytime Gentry... Anytime you see someone slagging off something that was clearly good on the television, just go and say reply to them straight away. You hope you're making a list of all the things you've got to reflectively reply to people on Twitter.
Go and get a pen and paper now.
Rewind
go back.
Listen to it all again. And just reply to them and say, you, sir, are nothing but a televisual wine buff. Ha!
Ha! And double ha! Ha.
Yeah. And that'll put them squarely in their place. People
complaining that Moriarty isn't dark enough and is more like the Joker in Batman. I don't mind that. I quite like that.
I think that's a fair comment, given the vast amount of fucking screen time he's had.
Yes.
Give him some time, man!
About 3 seconds on each episode. The people are dickheads, and they always will be. Sadly.
Not us.
Other people. We're reasonable. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant piece of television. Looking forward to The Hound of the Baskervilles this Sunday. Hounds of the Baskerville. Yeah, this Sunday. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, get it right.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Because last night we were watching a really excellent version of the Hound of the Baskervilles. You were texting
me about that.
Oh, yes.
It sounded amazing.
Matt Frewer was amazing in it.
He always is. Yeah. He's a safe pair of hands.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
Versatile. Whatever you want, you think, your first stop. First stop, Frewer.
Yeah.
And to show how good he is, I'm going to... I think I'll play in a little bit of his performance at the very end, after the titles of this podcast.
Oh, God, yes.
Wow.
It's like somebody...
It has to be heard to be believed.
Why don't you play it in right now?
Okay.
Yes! It's a countryman stick. Yes, he walks a lot. That much is obvious to a child. But is it not more likely that a presentation to a doctor, member of the Royal College of Surgeons, might come from a hospital. In fact, Charing Cross Hospital. Right here in London.
Oh, right.
Oh. And as it was not given on the occasion of his retirement, it must commemorate his leaving Charing Cross and moving to the countryside. Thus, if he was a city doctor who moved to the country 5 years ago, then he likely wasn't on the staff. As a staff physician of an eminent London hospital, he isn't about to give all that up for a country practice. And if he was at Charing Cross but not on the staff, then he must have been a promising house physician. Thus, a man who gives up his excellent prospects to move to the obscurity of a country practice. Thus, a man of an inward turn of mind. Ah. Thus, the sort of man who is compelled to follow his intellectual passions, very likely scientific ones.
Really, Holmes, I don't know what to say.
That was shit.
Yeah. It sounds like Noel Coward's been raped.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's just
when you say raped, do you mean facially?
Yes.
Now, I know when I was choosing this on Amazon as Martin's Christmas present,
yes,
I found from one of the reviews which claimed it was the worst film this person had ever seen. Or possibly, wow. Possibly claimed to be the worst one ever made. There was another one that said how they liked the director and obviously decided he was so bad that he would give him as little screen time as possible. And there's obviously a big chunk of the story where Holmes isn't on screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But well after the point where he always comes in, he was still absent. They left it as long as possible for him to turn up.
I think it was the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes of an hour and a half.
Yeah. And it was still
brilliant.
But the bizarre thing is, I looked on IMDb, and they did three more with him after this.
Wow. was it the same director, or had he seen sense and just gone away?
Probably just killed himself.
Yeah.
The final film is just him on his own.
Do you think they made it on such a tight budget that even if only four people went to see it, it was still in profit?
I think it was television. I think it was like it was done by the Hallmark Channel.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually, as far as production values went, it wasn't half as bad as that other one we watched.
Well, the one with
that
the dinosaurs.
Was, that was awesome.
That's awful.
Yeah. Awesome and awful.
Yeah.
We really should do a commentary for both of those things, but it would require people buying copies of the DVD.
Yeah, but then they're only cheap.
The one I got you for Christmas was really, really cheap.
Oh, there you go then.
The one I got was about £3, I think. So
there we are then.
Sorted. I'm sure any you know. What price? £3 for a good night in with Gentleman's Review.
Yeah, I'll even put the links to the Amazon page so they can go and buy it.
What was the one with the Torchwood chappy in though?
That was the dinosaur one.
Dinosaur. Yeah. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but
it called itself Sherlock Holmes, to not just like the other one.
Just,
that was
just the fact that the clothes didn't fit them.
yeah.
That was how low the budget was.
Yeah.
Well, and the that half the time they obviously didn't have enough wing collared shirts and just used normal shirts with the collars
turned
bent back up.
Yeah.
Well, with plastic buttons.
Yeah.
Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah.
It was very
terrible.
Yeah. Really, really worth digging these out. So this one called Sherlock Holmes, just like the one that has the big budget one.
Yeah.
They just chose the same name. And The Hound of the Baskervilles with Matt Furrow. Go and get yourself copies of it.
Wow. Yeah.
If enough people say that they want us to do it, we'll do a commentary on it for the Pictures of the Gentleman's Review.
So give us a shout. Yeah. Either mail us at thechaps@thegentlemansreview.com or tweet at thegentsreview or get us on Facebook or something. Let us know if you want us to watch that for you.
Give it to us, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sexy, sexy people. And of course, there's been more detective fun on television. Is it a segue there?
That was smooth. Smooth as silk.
Yeah.
In the Inspector Morse prequel Endeavour.
Has that been on?
That's been on, yes.
What? Say what? Why was I not told?
Yeah. My publicist didn't get out.
I'm surprised neither of you texted me about that, because usually it's the kind of thing you mentioned that you were watching.
Yeah, texted me about it, and I went, oh, has that been made?
What side was it on? Will it still be on the iPlayer or something?
It might be on ITV Play. Yes, it was only... I think it was on the second, so...
You'll be able to grab it. Grab it on your Xbox or something.
I would have told you, but I didn't have you down as big a Morse nut as only a Martin or so.
I'd still like to have seen it.
You still can. Yeah. But that was excellent as well.
Yes, I really liked it.
Yeah, I was watching this morning. We're going down the same path as Andrew Collins did in his Guardian tele-review, tele-addicts review, which is brilliant. Go to the Guardian website, watch it. It's a little video he does, a review of television, which is why it's called a television review. You see how it works?
Yeah, makes sense now.
And he covered Sherlock and Endeavour, and he basically said at the end of the Endeavour review, which, spoilers, that he thinks is going to go to series because it was so good. So,
cool. So, who was in...
Roger Allen.
Roger Allen's in it. I can't remember the name of the chap who's playing Morse.
No, I can't, because a very new young man.
How he's very good. He's as in fairly young.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 20s.
Yeah.
But you've got Roger Allen, and frankly, Roger Allen is worth it.
Yeah. Everyone loves him.
Yeah. Patrick Malahide was in it.
Yeah. All right. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, he's good. And it was nice. It was nice seeing characters played, you know, obviously in their youth that then appeared in the later Morse. Yeah. If you're really sad like me, you can go, ooh, that's him, and then looking it up on IMDb and going, I was right.
You sad fuck. Yeah.
Just cheering at a particular character when he turned. That was good. Mm. But I won't spoil it for you because you've not seen it.
Yeah, don't. No.
Which makes this a really pointless review, doesn't it? It's kind of
yes.
Oh, it's not in the right place now, sweetheart.
Yeah, no, shut up. There we go. Put it back.
And as we're still on to television, who saw Hacks?
No, I still didn't get around to watching
very
it.
Very good. Well, it... Yes, it was all right. It was Guy Jenkins, who used to write with Andy Hamilton, Drop the Dead Donkey, did a heavy-handed satire. I mean, he was wearing a lead glove when he was typing.
Yeah,
phone hacking scandal. But it was really very enjoyable. So if you can get that on your...
Yeah, I thought it looked reasonably amusing from the trailer.
Yes, very.
Oh, I might have a go at that tonight. Mm. Yeah. Still around.
The Daily Mail were very angry about it, though, because...
That's
because
they're cunts.
They're always really angry about everything.
I mean, the Daily Mail were angry about the nudity before 9 o'clock.
There was
no nudity.
No.
You didn't see any tits on Minky.
Exactly. Or crack.
No. You saw Benedict Cumberbatch's nipples in a bit of it, frankly, which seemed to excite a lot of ladies.
Oh, we're back to that, are we?
Ladies.
La la.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get my brain. But to the right place.
All the Rudy bits were covered up. Yeah. There's nothing to see. No more than you could see at a swimming bath or on the beach.
But they were angry about the Hacks thing because the woman playing the lead character in it, the editor, was too sympathetic. Because she did come across as very sympathetic. She played Little Dorrit, did the lady who... So everybody goes, oh, what's Little Dorrit.
Yeah.
It's all right. I never saw that.
No, it's all right.
It won't have that effect on me.
Yes. I nearly said Michael Madsen was very good in it, but I don't think he was in it.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Well, interesting anyway.
Yeah, I think the take-home message is we can all agree, fuck the Daily Mail.
Fuck the Daily Mail. Yeah. Fuck the Daily Mail. In fact,
is that going on people's lists? Can you email the Daily Mail and just say, fuck you, Daily Mail?
That's our campaign for this year, 2012. We've never done a campaign before, but I think we've just launched it now. This year is the year of fuck the Daily Mail.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And we will try and fuck them in every episode of the Gentleman's Review this year.
Yeah, that can be a regular feature. We haven't done a feature for ages.
No,
the last feature we had was Ask Yoda, and
that was under an ask.
Will we actually have to find a reason for fucking them every week? Like going on the website or something, or can we just generally say?
But I don't think it's absolutely essential.
No. I think they're plenty. They've given us plenty of
as long, as this is a campaign we can just do passively.
Yeah,
that works for me.
Yeah, fuck the Daily Mail, lived by the sea.
Yeah.
When does your brain get properly better?
Yeah.
About 6 months, I say.
Right, okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. With proper treatment.
Yeah.
Of beer and.
Oh, yeah, sex. You need beer.
Oh, still, he's going to wreck. No, he's managed to walk through the gap without beer. Wrecking everything this
beer
time.
Beer lubricates the brain cells.
But he now seems to be watching television and there's nothing on.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah. It sort of gets between all the brain cells and prizes them apart slightly. So yeah. all the good things that need to happen can happen.
Oh.
So it's all the sort of clumsiness and slurring and that. That's just because you're not used to how quickly your brain's working.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, makes sense now.
That does, yeah.
Magic.
Mm. But it has to be taken in moderation. No more than five or six pints per night.
Yeah,
per
second. Of gin.
Yes.
Per second.
What? Gin?
That's why I have express bars these days.
Yeah.
They just shoot it into you with a gun.
With one of them sort of, you know, Star Trek injector things. Yeah, that just go, psh, I'm drunk now.
They dry it down into pill form.
Yeah, like we were saying, kids.
Yeah. You can get hypersprays, whatever they actually call them in the real world.
Mm.
My mate who was diabetic, he really wanted one. Apparently all the posh diabetics have them.
Oh,
Lord fucking dar.
Is that so they don't get so much scar tissue everywhere?
I hope it's
at least just so they can show off.
Noise.
Mm. Yeah. Surely, given how
small... But if
small...
you can do it eventually, you've got to be able to do it with booze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Given how small electronics are, they could at least put a sound chip in it so that it just goes... when you push the button, even if it doesn't actually make that noise anyway.
And you couldn't really confuse people by replacing the sound chip with one for a sonic screwdriver toy.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Doctor, my thing has wrong sci-fi.
Exterminate.
Yes.
I've still got a little thing from I think it was an Easter egg, a Dalek exterminate box thing.
Right.
Which seems to just move around the house by itself and then just appear in places where I'm putting my hand. So I just go in and it just, exterminate, what the fuck?
I had a similar one that came out of an Easter egg that was a weakest link one that you pressed the button and it had Anne Robinson saying, "You are the weakest link, goodbye." And I found it a while ago and the batteries had gone really flat and it was dead creepy. It just sort of went, "You are the weakest link. Goodbye." it was really quite weird.
You want to start answering your phone with that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's completely died now. So I'd need to replace the battery and then leave it another five or so years.
I'm going to say, you should do that, and then when she has her first stroke, it'll just sound proper.
Yeah. I can sell it for a profit.
Yeah.
I saw something sort of sort of odd or funny the other day. I was in a cafe waiting for my bacon roll for breakfast, flicking through either the Sun or the Star or something, and it had the story about the two chaps that have been sent down for murdering Stephen Hart.
Oh yes, yeah.
Not one would think a topic rife for humour, but you know they have the mug shots and they always have a little two word description before the person's name. Yeah. So it'd be like sort of knife enthusiast John Smith or musical fan or something. Mm. But next to one of them, it just had Star Wars collector. Of all the things about this person that they've chosen to pull out as being the representative thing about him on the news of him being convicted for murder, it's the fact that he collected Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. Plus, those things that happen after the conviction, it's usually they use the bits that they couldn't mention during the trial, lest it sort of bias it somehow.
Yeah.
I think he only collected the Sith.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah.
All right, you're on to something there.
Yeah.
Cool.
What?
Cool.
Have you just seen Barbara Windsor 30 years ago?
I was going to say something.
I'm surprised you're not slapping the back of your neck.
It's something that I had in mind to say, but then you got in and then it suddenly was out of context because I was going to say there have been some notable deaths recently.
That's fine.
That Stephen Lawrence was a while back. One I only found about yesterday, which was Martin's mouse.
Yeah,
apparently no longer with us.
Yeah,
QI mouse.
Yeah. Oh, poor old QI mouse. We should have a little service for him where we play the music.
Have you found the body yet?
No, I'm sure
it'll be mummifying somewhere behind the chair.
Yeah. And then you can play the wrong answer klaxon as you like set fire to it.
Oh. Alan Davis.
Oh. Is it eat the poison? No.
So yes, I've murdered an innocent creature.
Oh, dear.
Yes. I should go to confession really, but that would be stupid.
you don't know you murdered it. It could equally have been old age that it died.
Right,
because it's not in the trap, and that poison you put down doesn't kill him. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. It might not even have died. It might have just gone next door.
Well, I still think, given that you've been away for so long, what with being ill and all that, he's just got bored. It's fuck this. I'm a social creature. I'm going to go to the pub instead.
No QI. Exactly. Oh, speaking of the trap...
Yes.
Smooth.
He's on fire.
I should be on proper television.
Yeah.
Rather than just looking at my reflection now.
Yeah.
listen to their most recent podcast and listen to Event Horizon Crescent, which you can get as download as a separate podcast.
And if you haven't, download all of the Event Horizon Crescent and catch up with them because it is fantastic.
And it is. And the penultimate one, which they put out the other week, is just... fucking fantastic. Mm. And I love those guys.
Yes, do that.
And I will be very sad to see them see the back of them. Which is not the appropriate. I'm very sad to see the back. No, see that go.
Yes. Yeah, definitely well worth catching up on from the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm.
Please do.
Yeah. Oh, that was nice and pluggy, wasn't it?
Also,
ooh.
Talking about podcasts.
All right. Ooh. There's hardly any left to talk about.
You should subscribe to Michael Legg's podcast, which is just Michael Legg on iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
And he's putting out brilliant podcasts of his blogs, which are very, very funny.
Yeah.
And I think he's putting them out the day before the blog is published.
Ah, is he?
You're getting a proper little bit of...
I'm slightly lagging, so I haven't noticed which came first.
Yeah, so please do that, because he's a very, very brilliant blogger and very, very funny reading it at.
Do it.
There we go.
Yeah.
I think it's all plugging now, isn't
it? Wow, that's some very good recommendations from us there, I think.
Martin's Plug Corner, Martin's Plug Corner. Yeah. Plugs and plugs and plugs away. In the corner.
That's very good.
Don't worry, I've got a cough there.
That's
annoying.
And the good thing is, because it's audio, and they won't actually know you weren't really in the corner then.
No.
As long as no one tells them.
No, exactly. I'll be sick.
Yeah.
Tom's corner, isn't it? He likes the corner.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Tom does hide away in the corner.
Yeah.
That's because I can go to sleep in the corner, and it's more difficult to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go away to my happy place.
Tits.
Gin factory.
That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did anybody watch the young James Herriot thing?
No.
I watched the first one.
Yeah.
And I didn't get round to the second one.
Yeah. It was generally quite good. It was affable nonsense.
Yeah.
All right.
But it was very much like an episode of All Creatures Great and Small. Yep. And because
fancy.
I said that facetiously because I thought that could possibly be what you were actually going to say.
Yeah. And All Creatures Great and Small had the same storyline every episode.
Yeah.
Veterinary, Southern veterinary, as it was played in the series, went to find a dead animal or something.
Yeah.
Fix a broken animal.
Yep.
The person didn't like him because he wasn't Mr. Farnan.
Yeah.
By the end of it, won him over. Every episode, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was. So this new series, which has the proper Scottish James Herriot. Played by a young man whose name I forget, who played the lead in The Fades.
He was the man in Fades.
Oh, yes. I did remember that from the trailers.
Doing well for himself, I'd say.
Yeah.
On your television.
Yeah.
Doing well.
Yeah.
And it was generally quite good. And each episode was him winning over... somebody.
Him winning a farmer.
Yes.
At the, yeah. Yes. And, you know, every week at the end, he'll go home and put him in his little farmer cabinet.
That's it, yes.
And it's gradually, because it starts off first saying empty farmer cabinet. He's all sad. Yeah. Oh, I haven't got any farmers. Every week he goes out, wins another farmer, puts it in his case.
Yeah.
And he's just getting prouder and prouder with his lovely collection of farmers that he's got in his farmer case.
Yeah.
All those whiskers.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? It's heartwarming.
Yeah.
My heart does feel warm. Either that or, you know, I'm just about to die.
Oh, well, don't worry. We'll punch your chest until you come back.
Oh, I think that works, doesn't it?
Yeah. Don't think you'd have to. I just think general punching, isn't it? I don't think there's any real method to it.
Oh, I don't think so. No, it's just punchy punch.
Punch.
I think it is. It's like a rhythm game on the computer, in that the more interesting you put some music on, and if you do it in time, they come back to life.
Yeah,
that's a prize at the end.
I think you have to do it in time to the final bars of the final notes.
Countdown
Europe.
Yeah. The final countdown.
But yeah, so if they do that, and you'll be alive.
Mm.
That's our first aid tips this week.
Yeah.
It'd be a bit depressing if you did it from the music from Countdown, wouldn't it?
Well, that was where I was going with it, because I was going to say it would be boom. But also Europe's final Countdown is also an excellent thing to use if you are unable to get the music from Countdown.
Yeah, well, so anything with the word Countdown in it anything with any degree of finality.
Yeah. Yes. Talking about Europe and
yes, you are the segue king today. Yeah.
Final Countdown. Yeah. Go and buy yourself a copy of Dudley and His Magic Pants.
I still haven't got that. I got the last one, but
you can get it on the Mystery Facts Machine Orchestra's website.
Mm.
There we go. There is a song about Europe and the Final Countdown.
Yes. Yes, you played that to me the other week, didn't you? It was very good.
Which is jolly.
I should get that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, on that lovely plugging note, from all of us here this year, this new year, at the Gentleman's Review.
A bit premature.
That's all we're doing. Yeah. Excellent.
Just 1 year now, from now on.
Yeah. New year, I'm saying. It's, you know, we're back here for the new year.
Hey, hey. All
right. Woo! From our first one of 2012, from all of us here at the Gentleman's Review.
Bye-bye!
That was the Gentleman's Review podcast, presented by Martin Wolfenden, Andrew Wilson, Tom Stringfellow and Lisa Goddard. It was a TGR Media production for the internet. For more information about this podcast, go to www.thegentlemansreview.com.